Welcome to the Quarantine Book Club, a comedy and book club podcast where we read some of the best
and worst
speculative fiction out there.
I'm Bob, a career theater technician and educator.
And I'm Rance, an English writing and literature teacher.
We might not know everything about these books,
but we'll damn well try.
And we're happy you can join us this week.
Make sure to visit us at www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
And check us out wherever you listen to great podcasts.
I'm recording now. I swear to God. I'm going to stay muted. I'm not even fucking with you. No, you didn't break it. Nope, I'm staying muted. I'm just pressing stay muted. He doesn't... For those of you who don't know that Bob is, right now, actively fucking with me on Zoom. He's telling me
now
I'm
recording on everything.
He's going to sound like the fucking idiot by the time this is done.
Did I break?
He's going to sound like the absolute idiot.
I can't hear you.
You guys ready? Let's do this thing.
Are you talking?
Yeah, you can. You can hear me just fine.
Now I can hear you. You're
yeah,
a liar.
You can hear me.
What are you talking about? You were muted.
No, I wasn't. Oh, that's how we're going to start, is with wet mouth noise.
Well, your voice just the internet just farted out. I don't know if it's mine or yours, but it just farted out. And so it sounded like you said, we're going to start it out with whack off noise.
There's plenty of whack off noises we can start out with, really.
Yeah.
That's how I plan to start the entire night. Hey, Bob.
Hey, your Rance.
This is the Quarantine Book Club. Good job on the extemporaneous change up, but it felt weird. I didn't like it.
I mean, it was out of nowhere. I was confused.
I'm sorry that I messed you up and I decided to throw a curveball, baby.
Man, we're throwing all sorts of curveballs tonight.
You're going to catch all my balls.
Huh?
Okay.
I think I'm really close to my microphone, and now I've started the show.
You sound
and
I'm nice.
Like, I'm too. Thank
Your
you.
Your voice sounds thick,
buttery and
wet,
and warm.
Buttery. Why do people call voices buttery?
Because they're smooth. Like a voice can be really smooth.
Is butter ever smooth though?
Man? I don't know. I would say velvet. Like velvet's cool, but like velvet's not a thing that you want in your mouth. Like some people want butter in their mouths. Especially when Paula Deen's like putting four sticks of butter in a cookie.
What non sexually related object would you most prefer to have in your mouth that's not food?
Okay. God, you really shut everything down there when you said non sexually related.
Yeah, because I knew exactly where you were going to go.
Did you though?
I don't know. Figure it out. Find a way.
I think maybe.
Find a way around it.
Pencils. Like I like I miss chewing on pencils like when I was a kid.
Too. I used to chew all the paint off, so it was flaky.
Oh, gross. That's kind of gross though, man. Did you eat the paint?
I don't remember. I probably did. I mean, look at me. I look like a fucking shoe bottom. I like pen caps. Like I used to chew on the little edges of the pen caps.
Yes. Yep. I like things that will pop. Like that aren't necessarily like, but that like that will crack over and over again, so you get that kind of like feedback when you bite into them.
Yeah,
kind of like you remember those little clicker toys?
Yes, ones that like we were with our old version of Jeopardy that we would
like
play, the old board game version of Jeopardy. The dog clickers
gives you something that gives you that sort of like aesthetic in the type of click. Oh man, that sounds so good.
I want to chew on a Stretch Armstrong.
That sounds awesome.
Like just to chew and just feel the corn syrup innards.
Yes,
like squeeze between my teeth.
I feel like squeeze
between my teeth.
Do you think they were corn syrup or something else?
I think it was corn syrup. I think it was like some kind of like corn syrup,
an oobleck.
got an oobleck. Doesn't an oobleck
just walk past me again? Fucker.
Doesn't an oobleck like disperse all of the energy immediately?
It's something where it like it becomes. I know like cornstarch in water at the right consistency
is an oobleck.
It becomes a solid with enough force. So like it's a liquid. It's a liquid. Yeah. When talk you step science, on Daddy. It slowly, but if you like run across it, it acts as a solid.
Why is that? Because the molecules don't like move quickly enough?
Yeah, because they don't disperse, and they disperse slowly, and they spread slowly. So it's, I mean, yeah, like when you apply force to it or you're just fast, they don't have time to get out of the way.
You know what I have to say about that?
Cool.
I don't like it. Ew, black.
Ew.
Man,
I bet that's what oobleck sounds like.
This has been the weirdest opening to our show.
It's gonna get ever. Weirder, dude. It's gonna get weird in about 2 minutes.
Why is that?
Because it's time to pay off a thing that I've been promising for months.
Yeah, your body is gonna fall the
it
fuck
is
apart.
I'm so worried about work tomorrow.
Bubs, got a debt to pay. Today, it's the final day. He opens the coffin for the one chip challenge.
That was a really good timing, by the way.
That was great, man.
Thank you.
Go.
Did you hear the minute that it popped? And yep. I didn't even know that.
It was so
awesome. I'm completely
awesome.
Unfamiliar with that sound.
Oh, crap. This coffin is taped shut. I guess I can't do it.
Wait, so you've been building up, like, I think probably millions of white people have done on their podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been building up to the one chip challenge.
Yes, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about your previous experiences with hot chips.
I ate some other stuff from Pocky that was other hot stuff that one of them was not hot, one was really hot. I don't like that I opened it up and it's in its own specific foil package.
You're going to open it. It's going to burn your face.
I know. I have gloves here and everything.
Does it send gloves with it?
No, I have my own gloves.
Okay. Okay.
Pocky did not send me gloves. Dude, what happens if like I...
Commit to the bit, man. I smoked a cigarette. Commit to the bit. I smoked a cigarette last week and it made me feel like crap.
How long can you last before getting owned? Powerless. 5 minutes.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I saw one of my children do it last year with half a chip and they didn't go 15 seconds without crying.
Well, like
10 minutes, you are powerful. 30 minutes, you are supercharged, and 1 hour, you are invincible.
Wait, something can last heat-wise for 1 hour?
I guess so, yeah.
I'm actually really terrified.
People have said that this can be, like, still hot the next day.
Okay, then why are you even doing this, man?
Dude, I don't know.
I thought it was, like, just a hot wing. Like, a hot wing you were gonna eat.
No, man, this thing is fucking, it's, like... hardcore. Have you not watched videos?
Hold on to your butt.
No, I haven't. And I'm going to tell you right now, as your brother and someone who loves you very much.
Yeah.
I am giving you this moment.
Yeah.
That you, if you want to, you can back out, dude. Because you know what? Your safety and your life is more important to me than some stupid chip.
Okay, then I'm not doing
it. Than some dumb bit on.
Because I'm a fucking baby and I'm scared to death.
What?
I'm a fucking baby and I'm scared to death.
No, it's fine. You don't have to do it.
Okay, so what to expect?
Oh, you're doing it.
I'm reading it. Let's see. First, you're going to get a spicy punch. Then you're going to get a scorpion sting. Then vision disruptor, gut slash, and then roasted.
What? I like how they've sold this. You paid money for this.
Yeah, I know. Like, I just heard cat. I don't know, man. Like,
are you shaking?
No. Okay, I'm shaking a little bit, maybe. Look, I'm a white person, okay, and we should know as white people that this is, our taste buds are not built for this. I'm putting these gloves on, and we're gonna go in. We're gonna do it. We'll start small, like maybe
start
we'll
with
take,
a tiny baby,
take,
a tiny
take a little baby bite, and then I'm terrified that I'll have to go to the hospital.
You will not. Nobody's going to the hospital from the one chip challenge.
People have gone to the hospital for the one chip challenge. Three kids at a school had been.
Yeah, probably because they did something stupid and ate like 12 chips.
No, they all probably ate one. They probably all took one bite of the same one.
Well, here's what I'm going to say before you get into that. I'm going to do two things for you. Are you ready? I'm going to do two things to prep you up. Set? Okay.
One, two, three.
It's time to drink.
Crack it, and tell me what you're drinking, buddy.
I'm drinking a Woodchuck Mimosa. It's been my go-to drink for the past couple weeks. I can't fucking stop drinking them. They taste really goddamn
They're
good.
They're so good. I'm drinking a regular beer, a beer that tastes like beer from Dewclaw.
I also have water, and I have a giant cup of milk.
Cool. So here's what I'm saying to you. You know what? Podcasts are stupid. Nobody likes them, and yeah. I especially don't like my own.
Yes.
So don't sacrifice your body and soul for just a bit like this. Don't ram the whole thing in your mouth. Like,
no.
If it sucks, just stop it.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you
see.
Got to prove to anybody out there?
I got to prove that I'm a fucking human being.
All right. Do you want me to give you like some pump up music?
I got it. Here we go. No.
Okay.
Just a clock in the background.
I like it.
Oh,
like
God. It.
It's
black.
Already hurt.
No, it's black.
It's already hurting your eyes.
I can smell it. No, it's
Dude,
not
have
hurting
the
my
tiniest,
eyes.
Okay. The tiniest baby nitnik.
Okay, I'm looking for a tiny baby piece because it is actually already broken. Okay, I'm smelling
No, don't eat that whole thing.
It doesn't smell. No,
don't
no,
eat
no,
that.
This.
Okay.
This.
Yeah, don't eat that whole thing.
This, look. This is the full chip.
Yeah,
this is
don't
the
eat
tiny
that
baby
whole
piece.
Thing.
Why?
I thought the baby piece was going to be like a tiny little like nibble.
Idiot.
Oh my God.
I'm smelling it. I barely smell anything.
Okay, bro. This is all on you, man. Whatever. I gave you an out, but, you know, like, here he goes. No, don't eat it. Okay. He just ate it, guys. All right. All right. Hey, Bob. How do you spell the word oobleck?
U-B-L-E-K. Okay. This fucking sucks.
Hey.
Bro, no. Straight up already. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm eating the rest of this. Fuck that.
Does it already
shit.
Hurt the...
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, this fucking sucks.
I'm sorry, dude. I didn't mean you to eat that much.
Mm. I didn't think that much would be that bad.
Oh, it's a hot chip. It's the hottest chip
oh,
in the
holy
world.
Fuck. Oh, it's a whole. It's definitely the hottest chip in the world. I don't like this at all.
Oh, God,
this
dude.
This is a tiny little baby piece. I'm a fucking idiot.
I told you to eat less than that. I said you can eat less than that.
Oh, my eyeballs. My eyeballs.
Oh, here
burning.
Comes the gut. Here comes the gut puncher or whatever it's called.
Mm. Mm. I can't wait for my diarrhea tomorrow. Fuck this thing. I never want to look at this again.
So Bob says to me, he sends a text before. He's oh no, you're going to start walking around. Mm. Bob sends a text earlier that
I actually did just get the gut punch.
Oh, did
feel
you?
It. I feel it, yeah.
Are you going to throw up?
No, I feel it in my stomach.
If we have to cancel the podcast tonight
dude,
and
the
then
worst.
Start tomorrow. So you sent me a text that I changed to text-to-speech, and I can't wait to play it.
Oh, please play it.
Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, so you sent me this text, and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I understand your pain. So Bob texts. So I'm gonna play.
What if I can't sleep and have to call out because my stomach is a mess? What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid reflux? What if it hurts my mouth?
Acid reflux. What if it hurts my mouth?
Stop making me laugh because I gotta drink more fucking milk, bro.
Ew! Put the milk in there and swish it around a little bit. Is it getting better? Oh, I hate this.
So here's the thing. When the milk is in my mouth, it doesn't hurt, but as soon as I get rid of the milk, it hurts again.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you stop your clock ticking over there? Because
oh,
it's
no, fuck. Yeah,
because
it's done. So, I failed.
Describe to me how you're feeling right now. Like, what's going on in your body? I just want you to talk.
so Oh, I think there was a piece stuck in my throat.
What if I can't sleep and have to call out because my stomach is a mess? What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid reflux? What if it hurts my mouth?
What if I can't sleep? I almost spit all over my computer.
So what kills me is you sent me this text all as a single string without any punctuation. What if I can't sleep and have to call out because my stomach is a mess? What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid reflux? What if it hurts my mouth?
Because my stomach is a mess. What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid reflux? What if it hurts my mouth?
Okay, okay. So tell me what you're feeling over there, man.
I mean, right now, honestly, it's just my mouth hurts.
Yeah.
There's a little bit in my sinuses. Like, my nose wants to run a little bit, but...
Blow your nose right into the microphone.
Oh, my God.
Is it bleeding?
I hope that is not blood.
No, it's probably just some spice. It's blood.
It might be blood. Oh, fuck, dude. This was a dumb idea. I'm never doing this again. It's cool. Dude, if anybody ever sees the actual tiny amount of chip that I ate, they will make fun of me.
It was the size of a fingernail.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to admit it. I'm a fucking baby. And I'm about to go throw the rest of this chip out.
What if I have really bad acid reflux? What if it hurts my mouth?
I have one little string of my mustache that's hiding, sitting on my face right here. I keep looking at it. It looks the same color as the chip, and I'm like, wait, is my nose bleeding? What's
going on? Is your brain like going wild right now from the heat?
No, it's not that bad. It's just it's fucking annoying more than anything.
That's the part that kills me is when something is so hot that you can't even think your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, I gotta be honest with you. If that thing is supposed to be the hottest chip in the world, I think you handled it like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
I think you did a really good job.
Thanks, I appreciate it. You don't have to You don't have to baby me. I'm a fucking little baby.
What?
I'm a wimp.
Yeah, okay. You are. Yeah. You know what? You're a loser. Losers like you shouldn't even read books.
I have some chip still left on my tongue.
Ew. Maybe that's why it's so hot. You just rubbed out with your finger.
I know. It's fine.
Wipe your eyes now. Touch your penis. Do something like that.
I'm going to jerk off now. Be the fucking hottest sex I've ever had.
How much wet milk is sitting on your belly right now?
Please give me 30 seconds to go throw this thing the fuck out.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Just keep talking to the audience while I'm gone.
I am. I'm going to keep talking to you. I'm going to keep talking to him. I'm actually honestly probably just going to play this again because it makes me laugh.
It's my mouth. What if I can't sleep and have to call out because my stomach is a mess? What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid reflux? What if it hurts my mouth?
He was so afraid of all of his bodily orifices. So there you go. There's Bob doing the one chip challenge, and he is incapable. Oh, he's got a whole jug of milk as he returns. I don't like drinking that much milk whatsoever.
I'll be back.
What's he over and under on the fact that he might have pooped himself? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think about stuff like going on hot ones. I don't think I could ever go on hot ones because I'm terrified of heat in food. I can handle me a good mango habanero wing. What if it hurts my mouth? But how's your belly doing with all that milk sitting on all that wet milk sitting on your belly?
Dude, I will have so much diarrhea tomorrow.
Yeah. You're looking good though, man. You're looking spry.
That's because the lights are red in my room, so you can't tell how red my face has turned.
Is your mouth managing a little better now?
Yeah, I mean it's getting there. It's totally getting there. Like
as he breathes through the fucking agony again. How was your week, man? Tell me about it while you're in agonizing pain.
That. It was great until that. I don't even see. You're right. I can't actually think. I'm trying to think of what I did this weekend. Working on a show at school. Yeah, that's all I'm
doing. There you go. Well, Congratulations for talking about your week. You played some Vampire Survivors.
I'm fucking amazing at that game, though. So, like, I beat it every time I play it. It doesn't even matter anymore.
Shout out to our Vampire Survivors buddy, Producer Sean, from the Don't Make It Weird podcast.
Hey, Producer Sean. Hey, you did a good thing. You did good. I love you, buddy. My lips are burning, actually. Sean, I just wanted to know. Did you play my voicemail yet?
I'm hearing every wet. Yeah, I gotta give Mick Arcade a hard time when I see him next. You know, and here's the thing. So Mick Arcade, the third member of the Quarantine Movie Club. I swear, Mick, I'm gonna bust you up, man. Mick, like, leaves a voicemail for our friends over at Don't Make It Weird, and he's like, you guys didn't even play my voicemail. And Producer Sean is like, bro, we record like 3 weeks in advance. Look, here's the thing, Mick Arcade, I love you. No podcast is worse organized than ours. We record like tonight, and it'll be up like probably tomorrow.
It'll be up tomorrow if I don't die.
People like Producer Sean, that shit's planned out like 3 weeks in advance. There is a process there. And you know what? I'm cool with that. God, you're still making gross mouth noises.
Dude, my stomach's getting so heavy from all the milk I'm putting
into
it.
Ew, I hope you just open you unhinge your jaw and hurl buttermilk everywhere.
Oh, God, man.
Hot sausage lumps.
I didn't eat sausage.
Do we need
tonight.
To blast through talk about this book so that way you can be done? Have to? I don't want to talk about this book tonight, man. So we read
this episode about the one chip challenge that I failed hard.
You didn't fail it. You did it enough. Mm-mm. Look, mm-mm. You did it enough.
Nope, the one chip challenge is to eat the whole chip in one sitting.
Who's going to pat you on the back? What person out there is going to go, oh my God, I think better of this guy because he finished the one chip challenge?
People who can do it.
Yeah, and what does that get them? Nothing.
Burned lips. They got on the same thing that I got. Man, I'm so glad I didn't do that whole fucking
side,
chip.
The side of your audio at the end of this is just like, this is going to be an ASMR special because you sound like a fucking pig. You sound like a fucking gross
fucking
piece.
Pig.
You sound
wow,
like a gross.
Man.
You do your snorting and snot. You sound like a gross piece of mucusy shit.
At least I did it. By the way, my fiance said that you were fucking wimp because you wouldn't do it.
No, I'm not like, doing it.
He's smart.
Well, there was also never a point at which I was like, I'm going to do the hot thing.
Yeah,
I know my limits.
No,
I'm a
fucking
loser. You're
a smart human being. I can't wait to just get on social media tomorrow and tell everybody that I fucking failed so hard.
Well, we read this week, speaking of cool things, not hot things. I mean, we don't have to go into it yet. That's fine. We can wait the requisite 40 minutes or so.
Is that what we do normally? Is fucking 40 minutes?
Yeah, because we don't want to talk about these books anymore.
I know. Well, sometimes we get these. I really am just snorting and snotting everywhere. I mean, sometimes we get these books that are really good, and then we want to talk about them. Sometimes we get these books that aren't so good. The only reason I don't really want to talk about the book right now is because I'm still just concentrating on how hot my lips are.
It's a good time to talk about it.
I don't even know how my lips are hot because I ate this tiny little thing that just went in my mouth with my teeth.
This guy's over here got hot lips. It's too sweet. He's got too sweet. He's got hot lips.
Welcome to the Too Sweet Podcast. Do you like sweet things? We're too sweet.
You're just on autopilot right now. You're going back to old bits because your brain can't create anything
new
at the
moment. Was that
even
an old bit? Do we ever actually do that on the podcast or just at home, like to ourselves? I don't remember.
Maybe we should write it down. We should have some planning.
Oh, fuck
like,
that,
we should,
man.
We should have
what,
some, like...
What do you think I am, Producer Sean?
We should have some meeting sessions and figure this shit out. Oh, I can see the vein coming up from my head. Okay, yeah, so we read Neal Stephenson's Stone Crash. Jesus Christ.
Fucking Neal like Stephen- crash my head with a stone right now.
Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash, which was published in 1992.
It fucking reads like it. Do you want to actually hit the button for the
thing?
Yeah,
sure. You want to just go straight into it? We can maybe end it early and talk about something else.
Okay, that's cool. Hey, do you think you want to talk about the book that we read? Okay.
Now, I don't know how so little actual functional material can make my stomach hurt this bad.
Oh, you mean like the spices and shit? I thought you meant Neal Stephenson's snow crash.
That too. That some actual little material.
I don't know either, man. I don't know.
Cold.
Drink your beer, man. So, Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash, released in 1992, it is considered one of these like these foundations of the cyberpunk genre. And I would
it's a seminal work of cyberpunk fiction and speculative fiction. Thank you.
What do you say? What do you say? Seminal? Do you mean seminal? Like it's from semen?
Gonna shoot my snow crash all over you. Gonna have a big old snow crash.
Well, this is like a post Neuromancer, but it well predates shit like Ready Player One. Mm-hmm.
Cover you with Whitey.
Yeah,
man.
I can definitely tell this book is 1992 embodied.
Oh,
and
God, it reads like it's so hard.
It astonishes me, truth be told, that it's still being read so widely as this, like, essential cyberpunk, neo-cyberpunk reading experience, because it is dated so poorly.
Yeah, yeah, it has. And like, the thing is, like, at the start of it, you start reading it and you go, wow, so, like, Stevenson's got some interesting ideas. And he really has this solid grip on where our world could be going as far as, like, our relations racially and the divide that has been growing. I wouldn't say growing, but has become more evident in racial relations.
Mm-hmm.
And God, fucking trying to talk about something intelligently.
Hey, you did a good job. You're doing, man, I believe in you.
Oh, man, I found my chapstick. Thank God. It starts
at tomorrow. You put that chapstick on and it just has spice on it and starts this whole process.
I'll throw it out. Ow. Ow. I burped and it hurt. The fuck, man?
Well, this has been the Quarantine Book Club. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And Bob's body just turned to mush from the inside out. Ew, did everything come out with that?
No, just it was a little bit. I mean, look, there's not a lot to come out except for the milk and my dinner. Could you imagine just throwing up that much milk? I've had almost like a quarter of a gallon of milk at this point.
No, I don't want to think about that. So bad. Yeah, well, this
no,
book
I'm
is
actually doing much better now.
Okay, good, good. This book is 30 years old now, as of us talking about it. And it paints this really possible. I mean, frankly, here's the thing. I'm going to say this from the outset. I want to talk about the good stuff first, because there's good stuff in this book.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I want to say that I appreciate from the outset is Neal Stephenson's ability to make words and sentences do the work for him. This man can write, and he can write his ass off. And
it reads good. It sounds good. It like, I'm assuming it would look good on a page. I listened to an audiobook, which we can get it. get into it a little bit.
Well, this has been the Quarantine Book Club. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And those were Bob's burps. Sorry, I just think that every time you burp, it's like the end of an era.
I almost just spit my beer all over. You keep making me laugh when I'm in the middle of drinking stuff. It's like you are determined to make me ruin my like recording
your keyboard,
setup.
Your keyboard, you need a new one.
My keyboard, my stream deck, my microphone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think language-wise, this is one of the better crafted books that we've read on the Quarantine Book Club, and I mean craft at the word level. Neal Stephenson knows how to make his words move, and they sound good. When there's tension and fast-moving stuff happening, his language is both tense and fast-moving, and I think there are some aspects of the plot that are weak compared to his ability to use language.
Yeah,
to
it's
write
almost
eloquently.
It's almost like his writing moves at like
a certain intellectual speed, and then his actual plot moves at a different intellectual pace.
That was a really good observation, but I was waiting for you to fall apart after you.
Nope, I'm good. I'm good.
You're good? You're back to normal?
I mean, I'm close.
You sure?
It's only been, you know, like, what, 20 minutes at this point?
No, it's been 9. It's been 9.
No way.
It's been 9. You did that at 20. You did it at 20. And we're at 29 right now.
No, I was looking. There's no, we weren't 20 minutes into this podcast.
Oh, my God. It
just came up again.
Well, hey, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this has been the Quarantine Barf Club.
Oh, man.
What else works for Snow Crash, Bob? We're doing this one early because I want to be done talking about it. Why do we have to make a whole episode on a whole book?
Get that theme ready again.
Okay, cool. Are you sure?
Oh, no, that one was almost throw.
Oh, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And by this, we're all the milk Bob's going to just spit.
That's what it is. It's the
out.
Fucking milk now. It's not the chip. It's you because I've had so much milk and I'm now drinking, like, stuff with bubbles in it.
I was going to say, you now need, like, you need nothing but, I don't know, you need vinegar or something.
I've ruined my body for the next few days. What if I can't? What if I keep my poop hurts?
It's still playing over here, just muted, by the
is
way.
It really?
Like, this has been playing, yeah.
What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid? Reflux, what if it hurts my mouth?
It just.
What if I can't sleep and have to call out because my stomach is a mess? What if my poop hurts? What if I have really bad acid? Reflux, what if it hurts my mouth?
So, okay.
Using that for hours.
It's got this beautiful pace to it. I didn't realize till making those that that the TikTok scary voice is.
It's a stormtrooper.
It's the Scream Man.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Sydney.
Yeah.
Do you want to play a game?
Well, the reason I chose that voice,
too. It's called the One-Chip
Challenge. Was because I read a lot of the audiobook. You read the whole thing audiobook, but yes. I shifted from audio to physical text. And this was probably recorded in 92.
And that's what that,
that's
yeah.
what he sounds
that's
like,
what
right?
he sounds like. Holy crap. He sounds like, who else did he remind me of? The narrator reminded me of a very specific person, and I can't remember who it was.
He has this really full-bodied voice that sounds almost like Casey Kasem.
Okay, yeah.
When Casey Kasem was a little younger.
Yep.
And you can clearly tell that this was recorded in a studio, high quality, for 1992. Oh, God damn, I can smell that one from over here. Oh, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And I'm going to fucking die. But it had to have been put all on tape. There had to have been 100
tapes.
No,
this is definitely books on tape, like, material. I know we said we were going to talk about the good things, but holy shit, it's so books on tape. There is nothing more uncomfortable than listening to a book written by a white guy where the main character is mixed Asian and black, narrated by a white guy who then does a whole bunch of different voices of different ethnicities, and you're including a really bad rap mm-hmm. that he does in broken English Korean accent, and it's...
In 92, I guess there wasn't an issue with how terrible that was, right? I'm really surprised.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
This hasn't, like, been re-recorded.
That's exactly what I was thinking. One of the points that I wanted to make was that I feel like this is a book that, if nothing else, it needs a once-over and it needs a re-recording.
Well, there's even these weird transitions and sequences where you get this noise that is this swirling noise, but then in the background there's, like,
it's
I don't
people
know
speaking in tongues.
I didn't realize it until halfway through the book when that became what was an important plot point in the book, a bullshit important plot point.
God,
that,
the most bullshit important plot point.
That speaking in tongues
root,
is really
the
important.
The root of bullshit pseudo-intellectualism in this book. Because that was one of my biggest problems with this book. And I was telling my wife about it today, and it helped me form my perspective on why I think the book is bad, is that it hits all these expected cyberpunk tropes, but then it leans really poorly into like pseudo-intellectualism and history in a way that doesn't suit this fast-paced world that's being described. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like Neal Stephenson was desperately trying to crush cyberpunk together with some kind of language thriller.
And, like it has that sort of Dan Brown feel to it.
Yes, entirely. Where it knows like, it's enigma. History. Neal Stephenson is a super smart dude.
And I think that the problem is, but he also could have eliminated all of the shit where he's talking with his librarian, who is a program in the metaverse, which that's a thing that Neal Stephenson should be getting a lot of money for right now. Like fucking Mr. Facebook should be handing him a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
For the fact that he's actually trying to create a metaverse right now and using the term meta. Like, bro, sorry. What the fuck's that guy's name?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Zuck. Fucking Neal Stephenson got zucked, man.
He didn't get zucked,
but he definitely Stephenson like my brain eliminated itself.
You're doing great, man. You're doing so good. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks. What were we talking about?
Jesus, I don't know. The things that were created in this, like the world.
No, okay, so yeah. Like later on in the book, there's a point. There's an info dump at the end of towards the end of the book, where one of the main characters, Hero, is explaining to a bunch of other characters all of this research that he's discovered that kind of solves this whole mystery, and which really isn't a fucking mystery. It's just sort of dumb. But you also go through the entire long plotting process of this librarian pulling all this information for him and reciting it to him, when you could have just had that moment where Hero was telling everybody about it and going, I discovered all of this with this program that Lagos gave me.
The other problem that Stephenson had is that even though he loves language and making language do cool things for him and it sounds beautiful, there's so much that could be cut.
Yeah,
I mean the first sequence when we're introduced to Hero Protagonist. Yes, his name is Hero Protagonist.
You know what's funny is the opening of the book fucking sold me. I was
me too.
I was so on board for like the first I'd say the
four chapters or so.
Yeah, even longer. Like I don't think the book falls apart until it starts to take itself seriously.
That right there is the issue. And that is something that I actually think is a problem with cyberpunk. It's one of my issues with William Gibson's Neuromancer, mm-hmm. is that there is a point at which this colorfully versatile world just takes itself too seriously.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right in that Snow Crash does the exact same thing. The beginning starts with Hero Protagonist, and he is the Deliverator.
The Deliverator. And it's so cool because it takes him the better part of a chapter to get to the point where you discover what a Deliverator actually is.
And a Deliverator is a badass high speed pizza delivery man. But in this world, the world building is really great.
Yeah.
In this world, the mafia is a corporate entity, and pizza is a mafia venture. But like when you get your pizza delivered, you get your fucking pizza delivered by the Deliverator.
30 minutes or less.
And if you don't, then you basically get paid millions of dollars.
Yeah, Uncle Enzo shows up. Who Uncle Enzo is my favorite fucking character in the whole book.
Dude, does he sound like this? Is this Uncle Enzo?
Uncle Enzo sounds like this. But Uncle Enzo, it's so funny because they take if somebody was going to play Uncle Enzo in like a movie recreation of this, at this point right now, I'm loving Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot. I think you give him a different makeup, and like Uncle Enzo's fucking Oswald Cobblepot, yeah. Except less scummy in the new Batman movie.
The new Batman.
Like, oh man, he's so good. And I've talked about this like
this guy has been kissing the Batman's butt since I saw it, by the way.
Will oh my god, why did I say, I was almost said Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah, my favorite Batman, Will Ferrell. He was in the Duplo Batman, wasn't he?
He was in he was
Thanks. Took that one to hit you. The one chip challenge hit you faster.
Shut up, he's President Business. I know who he is, okay? Give me a break, man.
No, but do you also
Colin Farrell.
Right. But gotta go back for a second because I feel like my joke that I specifically catered for you.
Yeah.
That you got it, but then it got lost.
Yeah, it was a Lego Batman joke. And it the was Lego movie.
It was, but why did I call him the Duplo Batman?
Because Legos were like Duplos.
Yeah, but who's the Lego Batman?
Will Arnett.
Right. So Will Ferrell has got to be the Duplo Batman okay. Because he's the other Will.
Yes,
I gotta explain Will Ferrell, my joke Will to you, Arnett. Bob.
And then Colin Farrell.
God, I hope I go fuck myself.
I'm sorry, man. Just go. No. Just fucking end it.
Hey, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And you know what? Just
you'll never
fucking
hear from us again.
Figure it out.
Jesus. I fucking blew this whole show off the rails.
No, you did. It's great. It actually puts us right back on because I don't want to hear your voice anymore. So,
Uncle Enzo is a great character. He's awesome. He's really personable. He is that idea of the charismatic mafia don that you expect. You kind of want to like hang out with guys in the mafia.
Uncle Enzo is one of the only characters in this book that I actually gave a shit about.
Exactly.
Because that is one of my other large problems with this book is that it is so concerned with its own world building and its own intelligence that nobody fucking changes. Nobody gives me a fucking reason to care about them. Nobody does anything that I'm even like, that's cool, man. Like, hero protagonist is fine. He's got two. What do I know about hero protagonist? He's got two swords and he delivers pizza.
One
and he's
of them
real
is
good
Katana,
at
one's a Wakizashi.
Yeah. Which
you're
we get
the word
explained
Wakizashi about 40 times.
We get explained to so much at the beginning. Like the first few chapters are awesome because there's fast, high speed pizza delivery. It's sort of satire. It's a little absurd. There's plenty of absurdist qualities to it. You learn all about the world without it being an unnecessary info dump. And then we get to the plot of it, which is that Hero is given, he becomes an information broker for like
the CIA.
A virus. The CIA, yeah. And in the metaverse, and then it all goes from there.
Hero protagonist is the fucking most badass fuck up that you have ever seen.
Yeah.
He's such a bad, but he's a badass, but also throughout the entire book, he's a fuck up, and you can't tell whether he's a fuck up because he can't get out of his own way or whether he's a fuck up because the world just keeps throwing him a shit one.
throwing him a shit one chip challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay.
Like he's a, and it's like Stevenson doesn't have a solid grasp on what Hero is. He's got a very solid grasp on who YT is, who's the other main character in the book. Who is the other protagonist, if you will. Like, YT's almost really predictable in her unpredictability and makes her a more endearing and interesting character
Hero. If I have to hear the word poon used as a verb one more time, I'm going to fucking throw myself into a blender.
The poon. Well, also, let's face it. There should have been Stevenson's big problem in this plot is that he really doesn't understand dramatic tension and building of a character, because you've got your main antagonist, Raven, who is comes from a long line of harpoon throwers. Like he's a harpoon fisherman.
Yeah.
And that's like his
a real pooner.
Yeah. And so why at the end of this aren't we having some type of instance where he and YT have to have some type of harpoon throw off?
Right, because YT is really good with the poon too.
Yes. Exactly.
YT is a pooner.
Otherwise, why would you call it a magnapoon? It's a magnet harpoon that you stick on cars. But it's right there. It's screaming at you. Why are we doing this? Instead of having this, in order to make it so that maybe he's a challenge for Hero, he can carve really sharp knives out of glass.
Oh, yeah. That's his poon ability. He does it with his poon.
Doing lots of things with poon.
I just couldn't get over.
He does one thing with poon that I couldn't fucking stand.
Yep.
I'll tell you that. Stevenson, I don't care if it was 19. Let's just break it down right now. I don't care if it was 92 or 2022. If you have a character who's 15 years old, do not describe them in sexual situations. God. Do not have them have sex with another character that is an adult in that book. That is called statutory rape, and it doesn't matter whether he only gets it in and then immediately gets poisoned and passes out, or whether he does it for 15 minutes. I don't give a fuck. It's disgusting.
It is, and that was – there are a number of really tasteless aspects to this book that I don't think translate well from then to now, and that, of course, is just one of those aspects that just shouldn't have been in there.
No, and like, the fact that nobody has ever spoken about that in talking about this book is really fucking disappointing. That I've had so many people tell me, oh, you should fucking read Snow Crash, and then for nobody to be like, oh, yeah, except for that fucking gross statutory rape part.
Yeah.
Fuck, now I'm pissed. I'm back. I'm back,
what else
baby.
What else makes you mad? Oh, this guy. Ooh, this guy. Oh, yo,
I might have been down. I did a one-chip challenge. I failed really hard, but now I'm back, baby. I'm back, and I'm going to be doing a non-chip challenge where all I do is come in and never eat chips ever again. I just talk about fucking books. Neal Stephenson, your fucking Snow Crash book, it's a piece of shit. You can speculate my fiction all day long, baby.
You can speculate my fiction. Okay, there's a word that I need to bitch about in this book.
Please, please do.
There's a word that I need to bitch about connected to a really understandably futuristic concept, but it's a word that we hear so much. I'm just going to play another little voice clip for you.
Please do.
Because I just want to know, how do I, okay, wait a second. Oh no. No, I accidentally uploaded a video I didn't want to upload.
Did you upload it to your TikTok?
Yeah, I did, but can I delete it? How do I check my story? I gotta use TikTok for these things. How do I check my story?
Bro, I don't know. What are you even talking about?
I don't know. But here we go.
Hero was gonna deliver some pizza to the Burbclave.
So
the Burbclave.
There is this phrase that is thrown around over and over. You hear the word hundreds of times. It is the word Burbclave, which is a portmanteau of
enclave.
Of enclave and suburb.
Right, right.
And it's basically where people of different like socioeconomic classes live in gated communities. But I heard that word so much. And that is the void Burbclave.
That after a while, just like that, dude.
I started laughing so hard whenever I'd hear it.
Yo, because I also started, you want to hang out with Uncle Enzo in the Burbclave.
Uncle Enzo in the Burbclave. Burbclave.
I'm in the Burbclave.
That's me tonight. I'm in a burp cave.
It's in my burp cave. I think I just uploaded a video to my TikTok, and I don't know how to make it go away.
It wasn't a video of your private parts.
It wasn't. No, it was just a picture of me making stupid faces so I can play with the but, like, how does it show up? Isn't a TikTok like a story?
Kind of, but it's just on a page of, like,
yeah,
a grid of your.
How do I delete my videos?
You go hold on, like, click on them.
Okay, but it's not there.
Okay, so let me go to myself. Okay,
can you find my TikTok, please?
Okay, so I found my TikTok.
Okay, because right now people are probably just seeing a video of me doing stupid stuff with my face.
Okay, so go to your profile.
Bob's helping me really quick.
This is Tech Help with Bob and Rance live on the Quarantine Book Club. So you've gone to your profile and you see all of your videos that you've posted.
Yes, but I only see three and that one's not there.
Then you didn't post it.
But it says that I did. It says it was added to my story.
Okay, I don't know what the frack a story is.
I don't know either. I don't understand, guys. I just think about burp caves.
I'm legitimately not sure where that is.
I don't know either. Then if it's not there, perfect. I hope I deleted it.
I'm so sorry, man.
That's fine. So, I'm stressed now. So this...
Hey, can I tell you something that I just found?
What'd you find?
TikTok added a feature where you can the videos that you liked, you can go back and find them.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I did not.
Oh.
I'm dumb.
Can we go talk about can we talk about this again? All right, so let's talk about sort of what the stakes are in this book and
everything. The whole fucking world.
There you go.
Both that's virtual and real.
All because of Snow Crash.
Especially America, though, because Raven hates America.
Can you help me understand? Okay, let's parse out what the problem is in this book, because I got to be entirely honest with you. I'm a smart guy. Yeah. I still don't fucking get it. And that, I think, is a bit of an issue because... that's where the book lost me in its cyberpunkiness, is that the problem, the virus is so rooted in, like, the root of language being, like, Sumerian language and, or, like, what is up?
I
gotta be honest. I just drifted. I was like, I want to watch Hero slice people in parts.
Yeah, and then he never really does much of it in the real world. It's only virtually. The one thing that didn't get me was, you're right, it needed to be cyberpunky. So what did we do? We have a two-pronged virus that is intended to control people.
Yes.
What that control means, I'm not really sure, but this like evangelist entrepreneur Ted Turner guy named L. Bob Reif, who you don't really know anything about until halfway through the book, when they just randomly start saying his name.
Yes.
Has discovered that there is an ancient code of language that exists somewhere in the world of, like, people speaking tongues.
Yeah.
And he discovered it because he's I think it's a Pentecostal. Is that who's speaking tongues?
Yeah.
And so...
it's like a proto language, right? Yes. Like what do they call those? There's a phrase. It's like a pre-tongue. It's what happens. I was about to say it's like what happens to me before I speak. It's my pre-tongue. I'm gonna bust a little pre-tongue.
Dude, I got my look out for my snow crash is coming. I got a little pre-tongue.
Got a little pre-tongue. And like finds out that this pre-tongue, this basis of knowledge.
Stop. You keep saying pre-tongue.
This proto-tongue is the basis of like all human knowledge. And if it's modified, it will make us under its control, which is weird to me because I get that the book, some snow crash idiot out there is going to be like, oh, actually, Rance, you're getting it all wrong. You know, I don't give a fuck if I get it all wrong.
If it's your favorite fucking book, eat a dick. because
you have a bad taste in
you
books.
Have bad taste. You got you read a book about that climaxes with statutory rape and kidnap. Thanks.
That like this that shit. By modifying, reducing, changing language, it then also modifies DNA or like it root just, humanity.
It, I guess it's
that like language is that basis of exactly what we are.
I just like the idea of maybe it was like a secret code that brainwashed people. I think what's funny is that the concept starting earlier in the book, because it's two-pronged, because it's via an actual virus,
yes,
that can infect people via drugs so that they understand this language and it controls them, or it can be introduced via binary code to people who understand binary code at that same root level of language,
right,
which is hackers. So I like the idea of using binary, this like binary code to switch off a hacker's brain and gain control of them is a great concept that also sits really well in the world of cyberpunk. It's a lot like the Black Shakes in Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah.
That it's this idea of some people have been plugged in for so long and they've become so dependent and connected to technology that what's the opposite of a fucking advantage?
It's a disadvantage.
It's a disadvantage, yeah. Because they're then susceptible to this this virus. But I don't know why we needed the outworld drug stuff in the
right.
Like, I think just making it like. Pick one. You get one thing, not a whole bunch of things. You don't know
what the hell you're doing.
Like that's exactly it. He's trying to do too much. Instead of just going, here's the major danger. He wants to make like, yo, I'm major danger.
Well, so
welcome to me. I'm major danger.
My thought was, and again, like there was literally a point where my brain shut this down.
Uh-huh.
Like where my brain was just like, okay, I just want some cool cyberpunk action. This is too smart for me. That like that it's the drug is like specifically aimed at like I guess like hackers get more addicted to it.
See, I think the drug is for other people that are not hackers.
That's why
the hackers. I think the idea was that.
It's like the virus in the metaverse that they're they're more addicted to.
If hackers
catch it. I sound like an idiot, by the way.
If hackers catch it, they will spread it to other people in the metaverse.
Yes.
But if people outside of the metaverse catch it physically as an actual virus, then they will spread it that way. And
so then L. Bob Reif. What is his motivation for this?
He wants to control everyone. He's a big bad with he's steepling his fingers and chuckling.
And see that to me is such a disjointed tension because
it's weak.
If we put this into context of his faith. Right? Like this could have been the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That we see people removed from this digital world. Like that is a disappearance. We see the digital world destroyed by this virus and then people in real life destroyed by this virus. The one thing I was thinking a lot about though when I was reading this was I'm really interested in transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it is as with anything cyberpunk, it's all over this. And I think some of those themes of human modification to the point of not being able to determine the difference between the digital self and the physical mm-hmm. self. Like those themes are all over this book too.
And it is funny because it does it in its own universe way where we're not humans. Like we're not looking at like for the most part, there's tiny little bits of like cybernetic enhancements to people, but it's only like one specific moment though. There are cyborg dogs.
Yeah.
The rat things. Yeah.
That's I was trying to remember what the fuck they were called. The rat mm-hmm. things.
Rat things. Yeah. It's like he introduces themes and ideas
and then comes back to them. He's very good at coming back to those ideas. It's just often he does it in the wrong way. Like when he talks about the isotopes that allow the rat things to work. That comes back later on when he's talking about the giant Gatling, the portable Gatling gun, Reason, mm-hmm. and that it is also
Reason.
Powered.
Fuck, I was trying to remember that, which I actually loved that.
Yeah, it was a cool concept. It's like big suitcase gun, Gatling gun that has
it's power like uranium source. Powered.
Yeah, it's isotopes. It's the same thing that runs the rat things, and so in order to keep it cool, you have to keep it in the water. The reason the rat things don't get hot is because they move so quickly, like radiators. It's you know, it's like he's really good at introducing a concept, and then once he's handed you that knowledge, using it later in the book and letting you for the most part sort of go, okay, I already know what this is. He maybe mentions like the rat things, and then that's it. Like you don't ever have to question that again because you understand what the science is. But he muddles it up with too much other fucking trash. Like he muddles it up with this mess of dumb existentialism and these legends of the creation of language in the middle of the book. And that stuff's interesting, but it's delivered in such a cold, clinical way, academic way. That it's like reading a fucking textbook.
Absolutely. And that's where this book to me lost its cyberpunkness and became a slog, mm-hmm. was because I am right there with you. I also give a shit about that kind of stuff, but it was so info dumpy and provided in a way that felt so shoehorned in that I didn't really care about it. And my brain would shut off when it started talking about like the Sumerian. All I care about is Conan the Sumerian.
give me fucking slam piece priests. You know, give me a shine job for 20 cools. Give me a
shine job for 20 mythical cools. Or
give me Dolph Lundgren in Johnny Mnemonic. You know, the fucking guy who carries around a big cross, the Jesus guy. I'm about that. Use all those weird terms and twist them and stuff, but don't just dump it at me. Make them a part of the society.
The book instantly loses its absurdity when we get too serious. And I think absurdity is part of the commentary of cyberpunk, right? Like we want to see how absurd, and I'm using that word specifically, how absurd the world has become in its obsession with new technologies and with problematic ideas, with its mistreatment of humanity. And humans are certainly mistreated in this, but it's on the down low. Like he starts the book with a lot of talk to set up this world that is highly segregated within itself. And like none of that stuff matters
right
later on. It's just sort of, it's like world building for the sake of world building where I didn't really need it.
And because at the end, like you set up all of these plans where everything is segregated, but then everybody's working together at the end. Like, are we doing a happy feely good thing at the end? Well, what are we doing?
That's also one of the problems of the book, is that for all the tropes that it tries to shake away, it also at the end just becomes nothing but a trope factory. What is Hero's big fucking motivation throughout the course of this, dude? Like, what's the thing that he achieves?
He, at the end of the book?
Yeah. Other than saving the world.
He advertises sort of his service as a hacker.
Yeah, right. And
that's
then,
because he's a freelance hacker, and that's been his problem the whole book, because he can't make money as a freelance hacker.
Yep. And what about who's his wife or girlfriend? Or
His former girlfriend who tells him, I'll be your girlfriend when we get out of this. That's it. Like that's right. There is no closure in this book. There's no epilogue. There's nothing at the end. Except basically one line, which is one of the characters goes, I want to go home with my mom. I don't even know what the fuck happened to Uncle Enzo. I don't know if he died or not.
Dude, Uncle Enzo ain't dying.
Do you know for sure? Cause
dude, Uncle Enzo ain't dying. No way. No, I think like Uncle Enzo, like, doesn't he get hurt? But then he gets hurt.
But we don't. You don't know. Dude, like, because it stops at the point at which it's like, yo, did he win or did Raven win? Oh, also, yeah. Also, why are we having a character who's been introduced as a functional part of the story 3/4 in? Being the person who defeats the main physical antagonist. It's like having Batman. It's like in Batman 3, the third Nolan one with Bane, right? If like we go through all of that and then Lucius Fox beats up Bane at the end. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Do you think that's supposed to be, though, an intentional play on the idea that hero's name is hero protagonist?
I don't know.
Like that, man. he is the quote unquote good guy, right?
Yeah.
I have to learn my own lesson here. Protagonist is not good guy. He is the guide focus of our book. Mm. But it's also ironic that he isn't actually the person who overcomes the problem at the end.
Yeah, he's only
part irony.
Is that what that is? Like, or is it just he needed some way, like Stevenson needed some way to fix it and he didn't feel like YT was a strong enough character physically to take on this guy who's like super strong, who also like She literally makes this fucking guy fall in love with her.
Yeah.
And she knows it. How do we not use that as part of our final thing at the end? He sets all this stuff up and maybe that's it. Maybe he's being subversive, but I don't know. Like there's plenty in this book that's intended to be subversive. So then why are you pissing all over my face and then telling me that it's chocolate milk?
Is that how it's done? Well, hey, I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And we're pissing on each other's faces and calling it chocolate milk. So
I was trying to think of lemonade, and for some reason, lemonade didn't come through. The only thing that
why
came
are you
was
pissing on
milk.
My face and calling it lemonade?
I mean, like, that's what I was supposed to say. Like, that sounds way better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that sounds more... But it was also so out there that it worked, because it was, like, it's really fucking out there.
I would say, in comparison to some
chocolate
other...
Chocolate milk, lemonade's much more like urine.
It is. In comparison to other works of cyberpunk,
yes.
Where would you put this? Like, do you think this is as essential as people make it out to be? Or do you think that it's been elevated unnecessarily to this place of importance?
I think it's influential. I think that it, if you're a fan of the genre or you're interested in the genre, I'm not saying that you're going to go wrong reading it. I think you should go into it knowing that it's got fucking problems and knowing that you're going to be disappointed in the end. I think it's a great example of world building.
Especially for 2022.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing example of world building. The prose is amazing for the most part, except when we get into the really slow sections. And those are all things that should be commended and should perhaps be looked at. But also, do we look at the problems and say, now in 2022, these problems outweigh this? I don't know that I'm the right person to say that. I feel like maybe, yeah. Like, I want to say that it's a little bit too problematic in the world of 2022 and we should be better than this. Is it foundational? Yes. Is it necessary? Look, I'm not fucking telling my whole team of Xbox designers that they got to read this book.
I read that too. So that was, when was that? That was the original Xbox?
I think the original Xbox. Yeah. And I get that. Like maybe back then, that's exactly what they were trying to do, was create this concept. But also, you could just hand somebody fucking Cliff Notes. You don't need to make them read the whole fucking book.
Anybody. I got to be honest with you. I love reading. I teach reading.
We do a fucking podcast.
We do a podcast reading. About reading and stories. Anybody who says, if you want a real good idea, it's like what I'm going for, read this book. Get the fuck out of here with that. That is homework. I'm working a job. Yeah. That is homework, and I don't want to do that shit. I'm not here to be converted to your weird Ray Kurzweil, like,
Kurzweil, like, Church of the Singularity. I am here to make the fucking Xbox.
And if you're gonna, if you want to do that, guess what? Find a movie version. We'll sit down for 2 hours one day in the break room, and we get to watch it on company time. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe give me tell me about the cool stuff that's in it. I'll read a book, but goddamn, summer reading sucks.
Yeah, no, it's stupid.
Don't force me to read.
Expect me to look. You want me to do professional development? You fucking pay me for professional development. Thank you very much. If you want to pay me for my time off, look. You want to create the fucking metaverse? Well, then I can get online and I can sign in and show you that I'm reading.
Well, okay. Where do you think this book has influenced both pop culture stuff, like things that were developed, and like what it predicted? Like, I think a lot about like Roddenberry and Star Trek and how that preceded. It was the pre tech, like the pre tongue, to all of the science nowadays.
I'm pre-tonguing.
The pre tongue.
I think that it's a. I think that it lives in a place like it definitely was influential. I think that you can't have stuff like Second Life without this. You know, the idea of online culture, MMOs, all of that sort of thing.
You ever had sex with a bear man on Second Life?
I've never played on Second Life.
With a fish lady on Second Life?
No, is it cool?
I don't know. I just want to know if people have done it.
I don't know. Look, shoot us a tweet. Let us know if you've had. Maybe I'll put a. Maybe that's the.
You ever had sex with a goat man on VR chat?
Some of the ideas of VR, like the unwieldiness of what their VR rigs are interesting. Like but also like. It was like, good try, Neil. Good try. I see what you were doing there.
It's very Lawnmower Man-esque. Yes, like, we look back at the Lawnmower Man, and we're like, bro, that's not the way VR is going to work.
No, bro, don't worry about it. I'm a god.
I remember that movie was great. And then I rewatched it. I was like, what a piece of shit.
What's so fucking amazing is how it has nothing to do with the fucking short story by Stephen King. Zero, except that there's a guy who mows lawns.
He is the lawnmower man. Shitty name for a movie, actually, too, about what it's about.
I mean, like, he's a dude who mows lawns. He's like, yo,
dude, he's just the lawnmower man.
Dude, I just want to mow some lawns and get online. Sounds like about like half the people in the fucking early 2000s. I just want to get online after I'm done mowing a lawn. Get me on AOL, okay?
I gotta check my fantasy baseball scores. Check out my BBSs.
Is that your bulletin boards?
Yeah, my online bulletin. Gotta check my Usenet groups. Hey.
Hello. You've got mail. My name's Hero Protagonist. I'm here to check out dogpile.com.
Hey, Ray Ritz.
Yeah. You need to figure this out?
Guess it's not working. Don't answer it. Don't answer it. Don't answer it.
It's why?
Because I want to play Doom via the modem.
Don't.
Don't answer it.
Don't answer.
Oh,
okay,
shit.
Okay, now my computer is hooking up. this book, you know what? The first quarter of this book's banger.
Yes.
Then it got real weirdly racist without intending to be racist. The ideas got big, and the ending was super disappointing.
Really, really super disappointing. I wanted more out of this book. I really did, because I went into it enjoying the hell out of it, and then just halfway through, I was like, I'm really done with this. I've got 7 more hours to go.
It was far too long for its own. This really did need to be. That was why I went back. So my wife had a copy of it, and she had stopped reading it a long time ago. She stops reading a lot of stuff, but
she's
reading.
A big DNF.
She is.
Excuse me, Renes's wife, whose name I will not say on the podcast because I don't need to dox you.
I need you to not DNF these books anymore, okay?
Don't DNF these. No, I'm glad you DNF this book, because I said, I was like, don't read this book. You're not going to like it.
Nope, nope. Going to get the spots in this book that nobody likes.
Books that my wife has DNF'd. Let's see.
Sweet.
Neuromancer was a DNF.
What?
She's yeah, she hated Neuromancer.
She just get bored with it?
You just thought it was clumsy.
It does get odd, like when you start getting into like the Rastafarian like spaceship pilots. I think it's cool, and I think what Gibson did is cool there. But some people might be like, "Yo, this is like, what the fuck is this cheesy shit?" Like, you don't think of like Rastafarian guys as like fucking spaceship dudes.
This was a DNF, but she's managed to get through like the first four Wheel of Time books. Like, what the fuck, son?
Dude, come on,
come on, brah.
Shout out to fucking Dan, who knows what's up with the Wheel of Time too. You ever heard him talk about the Wheel of Time?
No.
Dan from Don't Make It Weird fucking hates Wheel of Time.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
Yep.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to him about it sometime. Like,
I will.
She would tweet and be like, "Yo, Dan, you want to read Wheel of Time with
us?" Wait, was this okay? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I need to catch up. Was that recent?
Two episodes ago. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Make sure to check our friends. Don't Make It Weird. Okay. Okay. Question for you. I have a few questions to ask.
Yeah, you keep asking me questions, and I love it. I feel like you're interviewing me, asking me all my important opinions.
I like your knowledge. We're gonna play Keep
did
or Don't
it fuck
Keep.
Is suck.
Did it keep or don't keep? So
okay.
I'm gonna toss up some cyberpunk-esque things to you to decide which is the one that needs to stay in our timeline and which needs to get yeeted the fuck out.
Okay, are these from the book or are these in real life?
Just in general,
Okay, so are these things in our world that exist now and are from cyberpunk?
Yeah, no. No, they're like cyberpunk properties.
Oh, got it. I understand.
Yeah, cyberpunk slash like digital dystopia properties.
Perfect. Get it.
All right.
I get it.
All right. We're starting off with a little bit of, we're going to start easy. Ready Player One or Snow Crash? Which one is getting dumped and which one is getting loved?
Fuck, man. Why'd you do that to me? I think you got to ditch Ready Player One because it's fucking insufferable. And at least Snow Crash has some intelligence to it. And it is foundational, and without it, I don't think we have a lot of other cyberpunk that I really love. I don't understand why I love cyberpunk so much. It's fucking trash. 90% of it is trash, but
a lot
fucking
of it,
love cyberpunk.
A lot of it is super, super fucking bad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Johnny Mnemonic or Hackers?
Oh, dude, fuck you, man. This is hard. I have a fucking real special place in my heart for both of those.
Who doesn't love Hackers? It's such a piece of shit. That's okay.
Computer.
Hackers is the piece of cyberpunk shit that I wanted Snow Crash to be.
Yeah. No, I wanted
it to be fun, but also like pseudo technological. And also, it just ended up getting super try hard deep.
And everything I've read about Snow Crash sounds way more like fun and what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, did I read? I legitimately thought I was reading the wrong book. Like when we got into after the pizza part, I was like, "All right, cool, I'm getting to this like metaverse." I was like, "Is this the right book? Am I reading?"
Was like, "Hero protagonist is the in real life he sucks, but in this game he's a god." And I'm like, "What fucking game?"
So right, it's just basically Ready Player One over and over again.
No, I don't get it. Why are all the descriptions of this book so bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I feel like unfortunately you gotta get rid of Hackers. The reason I'm saying is because Keanu Reeves is so heavily, again, it's that influence thing. Keanu Reeves is so heavily entrenched in cyberpunk culture, like this, The Matrix, Cyberpunk 2077, like he's fucking, you can't have cyberpunk without fucking Keanu Reeves. I think
that's and that's also yet again, Johnny Mnemonic is based on Philip K. Dick, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Gibson.
Okay, that's right. My brain. I was thinking Ubik and Do Android Dream of Electric Sheep?
Got it.
Which that is also what I think this book was trying. I'm not the biggest Philip K. Dick fan. I'm not a big Dickian. Okay,
But also, Dick did fucking cyberpunk.
Yeah,
way back then.
Yeah, like A Scanner Darkly. He did
fucking more Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, and Dick understood. I just want to say Dick. Dick understood how to balance the absurdity. There's that word again, with the satire, with the humor, and with the darkness. Every book, man. The guy was a monster.
Yeah.
I think Philip K. Dick, like when we look at these, like older speculative fiction writers, like these 60s speculative fiction writers, I'm taking Dick over anybody.
Yeah. Dude, fucking, it's so funny because I like, hey, first of all, stay tuned for the Quarantine Movie Club next week, when you'll be hearing us talk about Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049, loosely based off of Philip K. Dick's work, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? But also, I have to say that, like, fucking Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is like
it's a killer book.
It's an amazing fucking book. And the concepts in it being so different from what Blade Runner is totally fine. It stands alone, and it actually is sort of frustrating that it's not its own thing.
And it's also super sleek, mm-hmm, and precise in the way that something like Snow Crash is not. Snow Crash, yeah, stumbles on itself. It's too bloated. It is not as lean as Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. All right, next one. You ready?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
The Matrix or Billy Idol's Cyberpunk?
Oh, man, you fucker. Oh, dude, why did you do that to me?
What was that noise?
That was me not sure.
you sounded like the lawnmower man.
Fuck, dude. Why do you keep giving me these things that I fucking love, and then?
Because I'm gonna make you feel pain, dude.
If you're gonna go with something that I've gained more hours of enjoyment out of, and which is more okay, Matrix in its entirety. Or just the first Matrix movie.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was going to say just the first Matrix movie.
So Matrix Revolutions, Resurrections, and
not a factor.
Don't exist. Do they not exist without it?
Mm. Yeah, they don't exist without it.
Okay. You know what? I'm still gonna. I think I gotta stick with Billy Idol Cyberpunk. Keep that, because I've gotten more hours of enjoyment out of it than I have.
Would you venture to say that Billy Idol Cyberpunk is the worst album that Billy Idol has ever put out?
No, I don't think so. I think Billy Idol Cyberpunk is one of his greatest albums, and it's fucking so underrated, and it's infuriating that it's.
When
so
was that? 93 or 91? Can you look that up for me?
Yeah, I can.
I'm taking a guess. Second. I'm gonna take my guess with my weird, okay, my weirdly, like, I'm gonna say 93.
Let me look. Billy. Oh, God. Stop. Not Billie Eilish. Don't do that. Oh, my God.
Billie Eilish.
I don't know how computers work, because I am not hero protagonist. Cyberpole.
God.
Billie Idol Cyberpunk 93.
God! I'm so good with dates, mate.
It was recorded in April of 92 to January of 93.
See, Cyberpunk is great.
Yeah, right? If you want to listen to probably one of the greatest concept albums that has ever been written, do that, and then go back to back with Outside by David Bowie. Have yourself a Cyberpunk afternoon, man, because that Outside by David Bowie.
You son of a bitch. You predicted my next question.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool.
So I would say one Outside or Tron.
I gotta keep Tron.
I presume
it's my favorite movie of all time. Like I love that fucking album. Like, yeah. Outside is great, and it's mind bending and it's awesome, but like,
is it just Outside? Or is it One Outside? I can't even remember. Like the one dot. Outside. Is it just Outside? I never knew.
Oh, right. No, I think that's the first song.
Song is, because I could swear I had a version. Like, I'm going to look the front of it. Can you look at the front of it and see if it just says Outside? Let me just
look up everything for
good,
you.
Because I don't want to talk about Snow Crash anymore.
That's fine. Outside, David Bowie.
Is it just outside?
I'm looking.
I could be wrong.
Oh, my God. You're right. It does have a one on it. God is damn. It? Holy shit. So I.
Yeah, but is it important that it's there?
I think it is. I don't think anybody ever called it one outside.
Why is it there? It's a mystery.
There's also outside version two and outside excerpts from outside.
Stop it, David Bowie. Well, can't do it anymore.
David Bowie, Leon is outside. The full-length Leon suites. Well, dude, okay. So if you look at this as I'm looking at it right now, this album that I'm looking at, which is Leon Suites, it says is one it two dot outside outtakes.
Is it about too sweet?
It says, but it's referring to the album as one it's dot what? Outside. Man, why'd you do that to me?
I'm sorry. No, years. I'm glad I'm not insane though, because I've always called it one outside and like but I was always just, really I was really self-conscious about that, but I didn't want to be wrong.
But the tour was just the outside tour. So, okay, I'm going to have to do much more. Okay, so Wikipedia has it listed as just outside, stylized as one point outside, and subtitled the Nathan Adler Diaries, a hypercycle. So,
wait a second. Is it one point outside, like 1.0?
Oh my God. Oh, duh. There's a space between the point and the O.
Okay. So it's like, okay. Right, so well, now that we've lost all six of our listeners going into this hole right now.
Me, man. But that's cool. No, I think you gotta keep Tron for me.
Yeah. Mm. There we go. That was the questions. Cause I think Cyberpunk has this problem of being just a little too shitty for its own good. Mm. I don't mean Cyberpunk, the album.
Right, right.
Or there's really great cyberpunk stuff out there, and there's really garbage cyberpunk stuff out there that just happens to become a fixture in our pop Dead culture. Tokyo. Oh, God, that piece of shit. Wow, smart and beautiful.
Fuck, man. Shit.
Man, I'm tired.
Why are you so tired?
I'm fine. Hey, do you happen to know? I mean, okay, let's talk some final thoughts on Snow Crash really quick. Just like let's end this thing up. I really like the 1 hour and 30 minute long podcast.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, like let all of our friends go home early. It's like getting done for the day at work with like Uncle Enzo. Your friends
go home early.
Do you think Uncle Enzo will visit us if we go over 2 hours? It'd be too long.
He might. He might. He might visit us, and then we'll become contractually obligated to him for the rest of our lives. Okay, what do you thinking, man?
I don't know. What are you thinking?
I don't know. Okay, here's what I'm gonna say. I think Snow Crash is a book. It is a book that was done in 92. I think if I was old enough to understand it, I would have been into it.
Yeah, you would have eaten that shit up.
But I would have also completely blanked out. Like, I understood language theory and stuff like that when I was younger. I mean, I think you said words, so you gotta understand it. But like one of my favorite, even though it's terrible, the thing that started the Quarantine Book Club off was the Doom novels. Mm-hmm. And not Dune, Doom, D-O-O-M. Doom. And when you get into the third book, Infernal Sky, and then the fourth book, Endgame, it begins really actually dealing a great deal with language history in this alien race and how language was perceived by them. It's oddly intelligent for such a bad series of books.
Yeah.
And that a whole war is started based on interpretation of ancient alien texts.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. And I was in seventh grade and I remember reading that being like, that's actually fucking deep.
Das makes sense.
It's klutzy and it feels weird and it's overblown. And I would tell someone if they really loved cyberpunk, like really truly loved it, this actually isn't the book to lean into.
You want to lean into Doom.
But if you're into weird, high concept science fiction, give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah. I was so if say, you're into like, let's not give Daffodap Hugh any more money.
If you, no, I meant this.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just, yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm yeah, saying, no, like, don't recommend Daffodap the Hugh. Doom books to anyone.
You know, this reminds me of something that somebody who enjoyed something by Blake Crouch would like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like on that, like, I found Blake Crouch absolutely more readable.
You think Blake Crouch, do you think, what was the last one that we just, what was the one we read?
Recursion.
Recursion. You think Recursion counts as cyberpunk?
I think in its own weird way it does.
It's about hacking the human, like.
The genome.
Consciousness. And mind.
Conscience. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, dude, I'm going to DMT myself right out of here. speaking of which, Dark Matter, his other book, was picked up by Apple TV.
Oh, nice.
And so now I really, yeah. Oh, I really want to watch. Man. I really want to read that.
Cool. Maybe we should add that down the line since we've proven that Blake Crouch can write a book that we don't fucking hate.
God, he really can. What about you? What are some of your final thoughts on Snow Crash, buddy?
I think that Snow Crash is a book for fucking babies.
Can you sell it to me?
Well, if you're looking for a book about cyberpunks doing cyberpunky things, and you want a protagonist who carries two swords, one of them's a katana for fighting long fighting out there, one of them's a wakizashi for one-handed fighting, well then this is the book for you. Pick up Snow Crash at a bookstore near you. Oh wait, we don't have bookstores anymore because the world's ended.
I just wanted to go through that. For some reason, I was really jamming with that.
I know. I'm sitting here staring at you going, is the joke going on too long? Should we stop? And yet, there's no joke we can't do too many times.
It's always good. No, it's this first book.
Give yourself the charms.
Man, it was a book, man.
It was a book we read.
It wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be.
No, but it wasn't like I didn't want to punch myself in the genitals.
I sort of didn't give a fuck about it at the end.
I'm not gonna lap it up like your dog eats kibbles and bits with the fucking gravy. But like,
what is the?
You know, the one you pour the gravy, the water on it.
You gotta put the gravy into it.
It's the one with the gravy. Dogs love it.
Doggies
Rat
love it.
Things love it.
Well, hey, so here's what we got coming up.
So
the Quarantine Movie Club number 5 is going to be coming. We're going to be talking about Blade Runner, the final cut, I think it was.
5 already?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dang.
The Blade Runner final cut and Blade Runner 2049, yeah, which I can't wait to talk about.
If you specifically want to follow along and do the versions that we're talking about, I mean, 2049 is 2049, but yeah, go with Final Cut. I think that it's the one that Ridley Scott has said, like, that's his directorial vision.
And then when we get back to the quarantine, so in about 4 weeks, when we get back to the Quarantine Book Club, we'll have read The Shadow Speaker by Nnedi Okorafor.
Will that be 4 weeks?
I probably terribly mutilated their name, and I'm so sorry for that. But yes, The Shadow Speaker is the next one.
Yes.
And yeah, so that's what we got coming up. Also, the week of April 11th, we're going to be joining our friends, the Don't Make Weird podcast, for the weird quarantine party, where we're literally just going to do a podcast that is just us all fucking talking. Which is great. We're not sure what it's going to be.
Maybe we'll play some games, as in, like, somebody. Well, producer Sean's always great. He'll come up with some dumb bullshit for us to do. It's going to be a blast, but it's really us hanging out with our friends, having a good time. So if you like the first half of our podcast where we just bullshit with each other, imagine that, but even more ridiculous.
Bob, where can people find us?
You can find us on Twitter. At the QBC podcast, my personal Twitter is at SpaceFunkyBOB. Rance's personal Twitter is at VioletSobscene. You can find us on Instagram at the Quarantine Book Club podcast. You can find us on TikTok at the QBC podcast as well. If you're trying to go to our website, you can find us at www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Don't forget to go to is it www.eliasfaust.com to buy Rance's amazing, amazing debut novel, His Ragged Company, A Testimony of Elias Faust. You can also get that on Audible or Amazon. Dude, throw this guy a fucking read. It's good.
throw me a read. Also, you know why? We're gonna be reading it in May with Tommy Stapes.
A good friend Tommy Stapes is coming on. He's gonna fucking bust Rance's balls about it. He's gonna call you a fucking piece.
Shout out Tommy Stapes. Well, buddy, it's been a good episode. I'm glad that we managed to get through it. I'm sorry that we had to read that fucking book. But hey, you know what? We did it.
You know what we did? We failed a chip challenge. We read a book.
Proud of you.
We talked about things that we like. We talked about things that we hate. Is Uncle Enzo going to give us a pizza while we went over 133? I don't know. Man, I'm done with this too.
Get the fuck out of here. All right, buddy. You know what to do.
I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
And this has been the Quarantine Book Club. Stay safe, be kind, and do the work.